Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefeo on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Hey everybody, welcome to Thursday's Hammered Down News. I'm your host Evan Batterton. It has been quite a while since we have been on the air. I think we had some technical difficulties, we had the holidays, we had a few things going on, but it is good to be back. I'm very excited about today's topic. We are going to be talking about Monarch Theta programming, which is, you know, some people say that it's all about psychic control. Some people refer to it as charismatic speakers. I like to consolidate everything together and pretty much say that it's using spiritual things to control a person. So that's what we're going to be tackling today. I'm waiting on my illustrious co-host to clog his way into the show.
I'm here.
All right. It's been so long since we got to talk voice to voice. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very fucking good, man. How are you doing?
I'm great. Now, you guys don't celebrate Thanksgiving over there. Do you have anything to be thankful for in Holland?
Wooden shoes, yeah. Oh my God.
I could have. It's
tradition. I'm sorry, I can't help it.
We don't celebrate that and eat turkey and shit. No, we don't do that. No, but that's okay.
Right.
We celebrate Sinterklaas and shit.
Yeah, we got that coming up too, don't we?
No, that's something different. We talked about that.
Well, you know, I think we'll probably get into some religious things on this show, and I think, you know, we might as well talk a little bit about Christmas while we're at it. You heard the introduction, and you and I have talked, Jeff, and you know, we're under the same umbrella when I say that we feel that spirituality in every religion is abused quite frequently.
Yeah.
by people, enlightened people, illuminated people, if I may, to control a group of people.
Very well. Yeah. They are. You know, it's religion. Well, spirituality is not the problem. It's religion, and like you said, the people on top who wanna exploit that religion, feeling, and whatever you wanna call it. And those people are exploiting it, and that's the bigger problem that we have.
Right.
Especially Christmas, everybody's buying shitloads of shit, and they don't got the money for it, but they're buying it. I'm curious how much money they are making with Christmas. It's just crazy. So much money goes into that shit.
Yeah, they definitely commercialized. They commercialized a religious holiday. A religious holiday that's predated Christ for some time too.
Jesus, let me say it like that.
Now, we've seen a lot of TV shows, people like, and this is not limited to just, you know, priests and clerics and rabbis and preachers and spiritual gurus. I mean, I think that this could even cross over, especially in today's society, to self-help gurus, people like Dr. Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Who's not even a doctor.
Of course he's not. Are you talking about that dude? I saw you advertising it a little bit on Facebook. That's some scam artist or something. I didn't really follow it. What's the deal with that dude? He was
Yeah. Our friend Sarah that came on the show, not the same Sarah that's our guest that's actually trying to call in, but our friend Sarah that came on to talk about the Million Mask March, pointed me in the direction of this individual named James Arthur Ray.
Yeah.
I think he's living, he was a New York Times best-selling author, and I believe he's living out in California now. And his whole, there was a big scandal. He did some time, actually, for something called the Sweat Lodge Murders.
What? What is that?
Yes, Sweat Lodge Murders, where I think the old Sweat Lodge thing, I think that's a Native American thing. I think it's a tradition of some sort, but he was, I think he had a lot to do with that book called The Secret and things like that. He was one of those guys that seemed to have all the answers for how to get wealthy, and it all pointed back to spirituality, that you could manifest wealth out of nothing, and everything bad that happens to you in your life is because you attract it. tell that to a toddler that's getting molested, right? Try and tell that to a kid that's starving, or somebody being raped, or somebody that watches their family get executed in a third world country, that it's their fault because they're not thinking good thoughts all the time. But anyways, this guy, he held some sort of a powwow with a bunch of people that followed him, and they go into an extremely hot room. And they get in touch with themselves, and then what happened was, is I think these people wanted to leave. He wouldn't let them leave, and they ended up dying. I think it was three people. It was three people. Yeah.
And this person is still doing his shift.
Well, he got out of prison, he got out of prison, and they pointed me to his Facebook page.
Yeah.
It's James Arthur Ray something.
Yeah, I
something
saw it. I wasn't really interested, but now that I hear that he practically murdered three people, that's a big thing. That's not something you could wipe on the rug.
Can I interject something here?
Yes.
Down the road, people have to take some responsibility, and he may have told them, don't leave because you'll miss out on whatever. They could have gotten up and left. And they should have. And they knew they had heart problems or whatever. He was irresponsible, but these people were putting the responsibility for their own lives in somebody else's hand, and that was not necessary. So
right.
People have to, step up, take responsibility.
Exactly.
So,
and that's really what the show's about today, too. The show's about, not following somebody and following something so blindly.
Exactly.
And not putting your faith 100% into a man or any... Ruthann's right. Those people... It's common sense. You don't sit... When you start to get hot and you want to leave, and it's so hot that you can't breathe and you already have a medical condition, then, what happened to these people that their common sense was overridden?
Well, isn't that, it's a type of mind control if you are subjected to these kind of, I don't know what this person does.
Well, this was really given up by the people, so I'm not putting more than his share of the blame on him, because if people have free will, this is not anything to do with Monarch.
No,
so, it's just... Sarah's on now, too. But it's just people not... so many people want to be told what to do. That's what one of the problems we have now.
Wanted to be led by somebody. They wanted to be led. This reminds me of something, and I don't know if you can remember this, Evan. This was when the previous Pope was elected, and in the end... I don't recall everything of it, but it was on television, and he was in Rome, I think, and he was speaking to thousands and thousands of people, and you see all these people just waving flags and making crosses and everything. It's just crazy, because what does that have to do with Christianity in any form? Because it doesn't, because it's idol worshipping. Those people, they worship him. And this was the previous Pope. I'm not talking about the current one. And by the way, Sarah is in. I'm just getting confirmation. Sarah, can you hear us?
Nice. Yeah, I can hear you. Hello?
Welcome.
Yes.
Good night. How are you doing?
Well, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good.
Sarah, what's going on?
What is going on?
What do you think about spirituality used to control people?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I mean, you're pretty vocal about some of these things on social media, so don't hold back. It's your opinion. I mean, you don't have to share it with Jeff or I or Ruth Ann or anything. Just go ahead and lay it all out for us.
I think that religion can manipulate and control people as easily as anything else. But people like to have something to cling on to, I guess, and to give them hope, and I don't know. I don't have much to say about it.
That's pretty well put. People are really looking for something to, like you said, cling on to or just follow. And people love to be followed, sadly. People have the need to be governed, to be led like sheep. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a kind of disease or something.
I grew up in the Catholic Church, and
you're saying that.
You know, It's one of the things, and I really wish we had Blair for this show, but, you know, we've talked about this before. I mean, one of the very first steps in controlling a person is repetition, you know, being repetitive over and over. And I had been to enough masses in my day and sang the same songs and said the same prayers and kneeled at the same time intervals and stood at the same time intervals that I can tell you that those people file into those churches most of the time. Not this isn't everybody, and they're just set on automatic.
Yeah.
The offering plate goes around. Most people don't think. They reach in, they take out, they put it in the basket. They think they have salvation for it, and then boom, #boom. And it's rinse and repeat the very next week or every other day or whatever.
Did you just say #?
That's. In person, that's the best way I've ever seen it done. It's just over and over again.
That's what makes.
Growing up, I went to church 3 times a week, at least.
Holy
three
shit.
Times a week, yeah. Sure.
I couldn't stand that. Hell
sure.
No. I went
plus,
when I was a little
theology
kid.
Every day. An hour of theology every day. And I don't regret theology class whatsoever. I mean, I learned a lot. And, you know, people misunderstand. They think, you know, theology classes are all about, you know, just Catholicism or just Christianity. But we learned about faiths from all over the world. But, it doesn't change the underlying fact that every time we did learn about another faith that, you know, heretic got attached to said faith. You know, whether it was Gnosticism or Islam or anything or any kind of, you know, Wiccans or anything. I mean, they always manage to slap that term heretic onto it. And, Catholics are all about making people feel guilty. They are. Yeah. They are. They absolutely are. That's a good way to control somebody, too. You can browbeat somebody and make them feel guilty, then they'll do everything they can to please you.
Yeah. No, that's quite true. Something I don't understand is, why does God need your money? I've heard that line so many times. Give to the Catholic Church, he needs your money. What is being done with that money?
Well,
those people are just blindly giving money because they think, oh, it's for the Catholic Church. It's a good thing. And I'm not trying to generalize everything because every church is different, of course. But, people will blindly do that shit just because a religion or a faith is attached to it. It's a very bad thing. You can make people do horrible shit. Wasn't there this cult, a religious cult in China? I don't remember the name, but they used to mass suicide and shit like that. I can't really remember the name. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, and you know, it's that's not exactly a new story either. I mean, it's been happening for a long, long time. Thousands of years. I mean, people have been, their minds have been controlled for since the beginning of time from spiritual leaders, and it's usually spiritual leaders that are telling everybody that they know better, and everybody believes that these leaders know better. And it's not limited to any faith. It's, Look at Heaven's Gate, you know, in Heaven's Gate out in California, for example. You know, a lot of people think that group just sprung up out of the blue, and towards the end, you know, they just cut all their penises off and then put some change in their pockets and waited to go to heaven. That group was around. That group was around for over 20 years.
What the fuck did that? What did you just say? They cut their penises off?
Yeah, you're a little young, I think, to remember that. Sarah, do you remember that?
What the fuck, man? That's not healthy.
Do you remember that, Sarah, the Heaven's Gate story? I mean, you're a little younger than me, too, but, I mean, I know it's fresh in Ruthann's mind.
I don't remember.
But definitely, yeah, I do. That it was something. It made me think of, I've read about the Jim Jones thing, and
right.
Heaven's Gate made me think a lot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, they had money too at the end, Ruthann. They were living in a mansion, and you know, people were selling off their lives to go live with them, and they were doing. I believe they ran a business, an online business of some sort, too.
Oh, wow. That's great.
That's not a pretty thing.
Yeah, they ran an online business, and I don't know if it was filed under a corporation or if it was, you know, if they did the whole nine yards and they went the route that most churches do, that Scientology went, but... I remember seeing the documentary for it, and things just got crazier and crazier at the end. And this guy, he did everything he could to keep it got progressively more controlling. If you can imagine something lasting two decades that gets more and more controlling to the point of we all need to go ahead and kill ourselves. I mean, imagine how it started. Okay, it's the whole put the frog in the pot of boiling water thing.
Exactly.
It really progressed into something that just got downright dangerous. They completely repressed their sexual feelings, and that's what led to the genital mutilation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. But in two decades, you can do a lot of things. You can start out with minor things, but in two decades, I mean, that's a shit lot of time. You can convince people of anything if you only spark their interest. I'm pretty sure that the Vatican can do the same if they want.
Right, right. The more time you have, you know, the better you get at it. It's just one of those things, and I've seen a lot of news stories over the years. I think I was 10 years old when Waco happened. I believe I was about 10 years old when that happened. I remember, you know, sitting in the kitchen at my house and watching the TV when the tanks rolled through.
Well, yeah, I only heard about it. That's my problem. I have no idea. I only heard and read about it. Can you explain just a little bit the basics, what happened?
Well, I can tell you that still today there are people that believe in David Koresh.
Oh, wow. Right?
Yeah, there's still people that believe in him today, and I believe they're trying to rebuild the compound even. The whole thing that happened at the end was wrong, and how they dealt with that. They killed, the feds killed a lot of people.
Yeah, they
killed a lot of people. It was absolutely unnecessary. Cult or no cult, the FBI had, I don't think, you know, much business rolling a tank through their house, but... I think the whole thing was over weapon charges, wasn't it, Ruthann? Wasn't the ATF pissed off because they had a bunch of guns?
That was the reason given. The thing was, like, they had never used them against anyone. Some of the people that were involved in murdering the people at Waco also murdered some of Randy Weber's family in northern Idaho. Obviously, Janet Reno was the head,
She was the attorney general.
Right, exactly. And some of the people that did the murdering in Idaho were also murdering in Texas. It was a very bad move on the part of the government to people who weren't hurting anyone. And, you know, it came out later because they tried to get the Waco people on charges of sexual abuse of children kind of thing. But it came out later that... a lot of that was found not to be true. So it was a very bad move on the U.S. government's part, which should not surprise us at all. And I'm not saying that he wasn't a cult leader or anything, but it was handled very, very wrongly.
Right. And that goes back to what you said in the beginning, free will. Cult leader or no cult leader, if he wasn't hurting anybody and nobody else was hurting anybody, then there was, you know, no need to roll through their house with a tank. It's not like the government goes out to Pennsylvania and decides to roll through Quaker's farms, okay, and the Amish farms. There's really not much of a difference there. There really isn't.
It's really true, yeah. I don't know the entire story, but if I'm hearing this, yeah, that's a little bit fucking extreme.
Well, I mean, it's the same. I mean, you don't, even with the Catholic Church and as evil as the Vatican is, you don't roll a tank through St. Peter's Basilica and start firing rounds off. That's just not how you handle things. That's not how you do things. And that's exactly what happened back then. But, you know, going back to what I was saying and what I was trying to get at is that everything that I've ever seen with a cult on TV and my experience growing up is there's always going to be some sort of mental illness involved, or there's going to be money involved, or both sometimes.
Isn't money mental illness?
Yeah, it's the more things progress, the more people seem to want to profit. You know, sometimes they start off in it just because they like the power, I think, and they like the control, and they have issues or whatever, but it always ends up, if they can, rolling into money.
Yeah.
That's what it always seemed like to me.
I think money is just a part of it. I don't think money is the driving force behind it, because for the elitist, money isn't really worth shit, I think. I think it's control that they're after. And they're doing a pretty fucking good job, because this is not everybody. You've got Christianity against Islam. You've got white versus black, whatever. You've got poor versus rich. You know, they're doing a pretty fucking good job to divide the people. And they've been doing this for, I don't know how long, thousands and thousands of years. It's just getting crazy. And people need to realize that you don't need to be governed. That's the thing. People want to be governed. And it's just a very sad, mental condition. Maybe you could call it that. I'm not sure. Like, who's going to build the roads when the government isn't there? Well, the people are going to build them, just like they always did. Just the main difference is you don't have somebody slapping you with a whip on your head while you're doing it.
Right.
It's total control of the actor. And they're doing fucking a good job, because, 90% of people have no idea, sadly. And the 10% that do have an idea, and that number might be a little bit big, they can see it like a huge obstacle, because it's so less people against so many people who don't have a clue. Just, you can't convince all those people that what you are saying is the truth, and that shouldn't be done, because they should see it themselves. But it's almost like an impossible task these days. They've done a very good job of manipulating the people.
Right. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of politicians or big military figures, whether past or present, but I do like some of the things that Napoleon said, and I believe he said one time that religion keeps the poor from killing the rich.
Oh, yes. That's very true. That's very true. Just, I can remember this. I can't recall it anymore. Just promise them an afterlife, and if you do bad things, then you won't get there. You know, it's ethnics. It's ethnic. It's just crazy. But that's a very good example, yes. Religion keeps the poor from killing the rich. Because why shouldn't they? It's a question. If I was broke and I was living on the street, I would fucking rob somebody.
Right.
It's just human nature, I guess.
Sarah, didn't you grow up Lutheran?
I did.
Why don't you share some of your experiences with that? I know you and I talked about it before. I don't know too much about Lutheranism, but I think it's similar to the Catholic Church. What kind of things did you see when you were in private school?
A lot of repetition and stuff. We weren't in uniforms at that time, but they are now. we had a religion class every day. It was like a science class or a math class. We had that every day, religion, and a Bible verse to memorize every week, and chapel every week, and church 3 times a month.
Oh, that's the same thing.
There was a lot of involvement inside the church. They wanted you to be there a lot.
Right. Now, what about the ministers, or what are they called in the Lutheran church? Are they called ministers?
No, they're pastors.
Okay.
Pastors, I guess.
And what were they like? I mean, did they, because, you know, priests, they dress up in lovely robes, lovely garments. They look very majestic. You know, as kids, and I'm sure, you know, if you've ever been inside a Catholic church when you were a child, they almost look like kings in big chairs.
I've never been inside of a Catholic church.
Amen.
I've been inside of the Lutheran church. I don't know how to compare it, but the robes, they wore robes and something over the shoulders that draped all the way down as long as the robe.
Like a medieval kind of thing.
Like Halloween every Sunday. Like Halloween every Sunday. I want to read.
I sat in the very, very back at church, always, every Sunday, in the back.
Yeah.
And I tried to pay as little attention as possible.
Sounds like
now,
me.
What about everyone else, though? What about everyone else? I mean, what did you notice everybody else was pretty devout, or was it, did all of you not care?
They would sing along in the songs and the hymns and things like that. They would say the Lord's Prayer together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very robotic and monotone, and there wasn't any enthusiasm. It was really boring. There was a lot of people, a very big church.
What about a rosary? Do they have rosaries in Lutheranism?
No.
It's not that different from Catholicism. It's really not.
It's not.
Yeah, it's really not. I mean, we had the rosary, and getting through a rosary was painful, just painful.
Catholicism is a little more intense than Lutheran.
Right.
They take it a little more seriously, I guess, but it's still up there, and their belief system is similar.
Right. I want to read something, and this comes from Educate. Yourself.org. It talks about some of the spiritual mind control programming, and I guess I'm gonna go ahead and bash somebody that's pretty popular in Christianity, in evangelical Christianity. I'm gonna go ahead and do that. It may not be popular with some people that listen to me, but we're not exactly popular these days. So let me go ahead and do this. It is, I believe, Fritz Springmeier and Cisco Wheeler wrote this. This is an excerpt. It's part K, Scriptures and Programming. And this is just an excerpt. So, an ex-programmer states that Illuminati mind control intentionally used verses from every book of the Bible. Programmers also intentionally used everything Jesus said in one distorted way or another in programming. A person can pick up a Bible with Jesus, words in red, and get a quick idea of one area of the Bible which was heavily misused. The programmers love to reframe parables. Billy Graham, who is a monarch handler, is very adept at weaving in programming language in with biblical messages. For instance, the book was finished. In his 1995 televised Christmas message, given in front of a fireplace with 13 candles lit behind him, he said, "Come home so I can give you a new heart." A little later, he activated something called the Plowshares programming. And then he said, "From the cradle to the cross to the ground," which is a phrase any deeper cult altar would have an entirely different meaning for than the person on the street. And then it goes on to say, and I got to read chapter 5. Readers who read chapter 5 will remember what was written about Billy Graham. When Billy Graham was in Portland, his ministry somehow got the addresses and phone numbers to all the monarch survivors in the area,
oh, wow,
who he invited to a personal meeting with him. While he had his mind control survivors gathered, he talked to them and set off the programming with their personal codes. This was observed by several witnesses. His ministry also sends codes via their messages flashed across the bottom of the TV screen. The reader needs to bear in mind the bloody satanic holidays occur around Christian Holy Days. And then it goes on to list a bunch of the holidays. And it says, the idea of using scriptures for programming accomplishes several things. Therapists are usually secular and unfamiliar with the Bible, and so this prevents exposure of the programming cues and trigger fonts. I imagine that's saying that, you know, everybody says go talk to your pastor or your bishop or your priest, you know, for counseling and things like that, whereas therapists would be completely objective. The last place people would look for understanding satanic programming is in the Bible. When programmed, multiples go to church that can be used and programmed by using Christian terms. There are Christian churches in Washington, Arkansas, Tennessee, and California, and many other places which are 100% cult mind-controlled operations. When a program multiple tries to set themselves free by taking in spiritual knowledge, they find that the Bible is a programming trigger that sets off programming or brings up some altar. Reading the book of 1 John might bring up Illuminati's altar. The cult which is doing the programming by making a mockery of God can build their egos and their pride. It may allow them to feel they are more powerful than a god. The victim can be told that God is telling them to do something. And who sets himself up as the god? The cult programmer.
Oh, yeah.
So that was interesting.
That's very interesting. I think
that was interesting. Now, as far as the proof of all that with Billy Graham, I don't know. I haven't looked at it. I don't care too much for any kind of super pastor. I really don't. I don't trust any kind of pastor on TV, and mega churches, or anything like that. But, I mean, it's definitely a bunch of bold accusations.
Those mega churches you're talking about, I've seen a lot of that pictures coming around. Is that a normal thing in America? Do you have a lot of that?
It's unfortunately fairly normal. I mean, if you go to any kind of, I mean, even a town as big as, say, a university town, you know, 60,000 people maybe, you're going to open up the white pages, or the yellow pages, rather, and go under churches, and you're going to be thumbing through them forever.
There are a lot of churches here.
There's a ton of churches there. There's a ton
there's
of churches
like a church
in South
on every block here.
Wow, every fucking block? What the hell?
I mean, every other block, literally. There's churches all over the place here.
That's crazy.
Right.
You really don't
there's
have that.
As many churches as there are banks. There's a lot of banks. There's a new bank opening up all the time.
Why is America as a country so, I don't know if I want to call it this, but obsessed with Christianity? Why is it, they call it the Christian nation.
Well, it's not so much that as it is. I think there's just a really big need to control American people.
Yes.
I really do. There's just a really big need to control American people. I mean, Christianity is dying out in America. It really is. But that doesn't stop churches from popping up all over the block for other things too. For other things too. I mean, this isn't a bash on anybody's faith or their.
Oh, it's a bias on controlled religion. That's something completely different than having faith. To me, it's really the exact opposite. Because religion is something that's being used so wrongly. I mean, wars are being justified with it. People are being controlled in masses with it. And I don't know, why do you need... I don't know, it's just a fucking bad word, religion. You know, having faith is something good. It's beautiful. I don't give a fuck if you, in whatever you believe. If you go murdering people over your beliefs, and I'm fucking fine with it. Who the fuck care? But the people, the big dogs and the people on top, they have no problem with justifying a genocide in the name of, in the name of religion or faith or whatever. I don't know. I've heard people say, yeah, well, when Jesus Christ is coming back, he's going to smash all those Palestinians into the rocks. And I'm like, what? Are you fucking
right? Angry?
I mean, that shit, I don't know. It's just weird. Such horrible things are being justified by the means of religion. It is sickening.
Well, here's something crazy that a lot of people, I'm sure, might want to look up for their own cities. But here in St. Louis, you can go to a metaphysical school now that charges a decent amount of tuition to learn how to be, I don't know, whatever it is that they do there. But, yeah, they're profiting off of that now. It's big business, man. It really is. It's big business, and everybody has their hands out, and everybody wants to control everybody.
That's very true. I'm just reading here in the chat from Brandon Cox. And bro, you should call in if you want to, because, you know, you're welcome. He just said mostly televised pastors just want money. And you can tell because there's multiple money ads during the sermon and during the services. You know, they're just pimping the religion out. They're just trying to make money of it. And that's just for those people, I think, because... like I said before, the people on top, I don't think they give a fuck about money. I really think they are laughing at us that we are in debt. And, you know, it's funny, while I'm here looking at my Skype logo, I can see fucking money ads from a bank here in my country. It's just ridiculous. They're pimping out everything these days. It's all about the money. For us, but for them, it's only about control. It's just sickening.
Well, Ruth Ann, I just got a message from her. She says that we have a caller.
Yes, you do.
And who is our caller?
Well, let's see.
Well, let's hear from our caller, our mystery caller.
A mystery caller. Whoa.
Hello.
Hello.
Is Jack there?
Oh boy.
I want to talk to that sexy little sweet chap. Where is he at? Is he working on there tonight?
I have a feeling.
Are we getting trolled right now?
I think we might just be.
Apparently that was the case. If you don't know who that was,
I
have my suspicions. It came in with a 111, 111, 1111. So,
yeah.
You know who I'm talking about. Yeah.
That's his Google phone. Brandon is laughing his ass off in the chat.
I don't know what to make of that one, but whoever it was sure seemed to be a big fan of yours, Jap. Are you sure that you're not some sort of a spiritual leader?
They have been protesting in the fucking street against me. You saw it. Oh, my.
We do love our groupies. we do love our groupies. I also wanted to talk a little bit about, and this is another section from this book called The Use of Angel Altars.
Say what?
Yeah, the use of angel altars. Many Illuminati models had angels or spirit guides created that could provide divine messages to the monarch's slave. The Illuminati intelligence agencies have been highly successful with their controlling people via their religious beliefs by implanting altars who are seen by a monarch's slave as being a messenger from God or the gods. For someone like Loretta Lynn, they use spirits of Indians. Another example of this is someone having three black angels. The concept is the same, though. This works in closely with having demonic guides.
Well, is that the same source you just quoted?
What's that?
I said, is this from the same website? I forgot the name.
Same website. It's the same website. I'm going to send it to you now, actually, so you can take a look at it. And this is something that Blair passed along to me also.
Yeah, Blair.
It was, something he passed along to me. It was pretty interesting. And it's long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to absorb.
And
I don't know how everybody feels about Sylvia Brown. You know who Sylvia Brown is, Jeff?
I have no idea, man. I have
Sarah,
no
idea. Do you know who Sylvia Brown is?
Not off the top of my head, I don't.
Ruthann, I know you know who Sylvia Brown is.
I do. I know who she is. I'm not a fan, but
right.
I definitely know she's made a lot of predictions, and she's made a lot of money.
Yeah, made a lot of predictions and a lot of money. Sylvia Brown's a big fan of the whole spirit guide thing. She writes a lot of books about what heaven is like. Yeah, and how there's different colleges in heaven and things like that. Sylvia has a huge following. She has, and like you said, she made a lot of predictions. Let me go ahead and tell you guys one of her predictions that she got wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Castro in Cleveland that had the three girls in his basement.
Oh yeah.
We all remember him. He's dead now. It happened over the summer. Yeah. Well, anyways, she had told some of those parents that their children were dead.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, she told them that their children were dead and told them where their bodies could be found, et cetera, et cetera. She has done this many times, and it is not the first time when she has ended up being wrong. In this case, these girls were chained up, tortured, raped for quite a number of years. Sylvia told their parents that they were dead and they were alive.
And that's not unusual for, I mean, people to have a certain percentage rate, whatever, but doing something like that, that you have the parents so involved in, it seems very cruel.
It does.
To me. So,
it really does. But, you know, and Sylvia, I've seen Sylvia on TV more than a few times, and that is one confident woman. She is absolutely 100% confident in what she says. Somebody will be like, my son, what? Oh, he's dead. He's dead. Yeah, he's dead. His body is by some rocks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just let it go. He's dead. I've seen her do this stuff before.
That's insane. That's fucking...
Yeah, I've seen her do this stuff before, and I have read stuff on how to do cult psychic readings and things like that, and how to do psychic surgeries even with a blood bag full of chicken livers, you know, and a little bit of sleight of hand. And Sylvia is not, she's not fooling me. Not at all. She's not fooling me one bit. I've seen her do this a million times. I used to watch Montel Williams growing up every day after school. I'd come home from school, sit down, watch Montel. Sylvia Brown comes on, wows the audience. I was a kid. I thought she was great. I thought it was cool. But, and that's just the most famous case I've ever heard of her being wrong about.
That's just great. You can't just go, yeah, well, my son, yeah, he's dead. Yeah, you can. You can't fucking do
it. Yeah, she does it all the time.
We have a caller, I think. I'm not sure. With Anna, is the caller still on the line? Or did he or she
right,
drop off?
Right, we have a 954. Yeah.
Let's put him on, him or her.
954.
You're on?
954.
Yeah.
Yes.
So exactly where are you siding on this side of the issue?
What? I'm sorry, what?
What is your beliefs on this?
My belief on this?
Yeah.
What, this entire control system?
In terms of Sophia and all of this that's going on right now and all of these things that were done to these kids?
Oh, wow, yeah. I have no idea who Sophia is. What is being done to these kids, that is just horrible. Because they're being, what do you call it? They're being, subjected to this bullshit, and they should decide it for themselves, and they are just being pushed into what they don't even know what the fuck it is.
Do you think that this is the first time that this has happened in the country?
Of course not. What in America?
Now, what is the issue we're talking about again?
We're talking about the children.
Yeah.
That he was talking about earlier, the Soviets.
Soviets.
The Soviets.
Now I'm confused as fuck. I'm not following this.
I don't think we were talking about Soviets earlier.
No.
Okay. Well,
your transmission's not coming out over good over BTR. You're talking about children being shankled.
What?
No, that's not us. That wasn't us. I think there's some confusion. Maybe you got on another blog talk program or something. That wasn't us. We're talking about Monarch Theta today.
Monarch Theta.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
And you were just talking about Montel Williams.
Montel Williams.
Yeah.
And Sylvia, Brown.
Exactly. Your transmission is coming out very, very blocky.
Blocky.
Like a phone breaking up.
Oh, that could be weak, because I keep...
It's coming out in bits and pieces.
I keep pressing it. I don't know.
Well, it is blog talk. It is blog talk, and...
It won't be...
It's not perfect. It's been around for years. We used to use it for MySpace. Well, since obviously the reception's not well and my question is not accurate, I'll let you go. But Jap, say hi to Eckert.
Oh, fuck, I won't do that. Fuck Eckert.
All right, thank you for calling.
I think we've got Brandon waiting, but...
Well, he was, but then his Skype crashed, so he's going to try again.
Okay, Brandon, if you are listening, you need to open the, what is it called, the dial pad, and then press 1. And then she can unmute you. Not gonna work. Alright, well, he's trying again now, so we're just gonna go on and wait for Brandon to call in. I know he's been waiting for a long time. He's been telling me he wanted to call in so many times. And the last 2 weeks it was all shit. It was Thanksgiving and the calls didn't work. That was pure garbage. So, let's hope it goes good right now.
Yeah, there is some background noise.
Yeah, that should be me. Okay. I can mute myself. Wait, let me try. I'm going to mute myself right now.
It's probably the millions of people dancing in the background.
what?
And Holland, I imagine.
And Claude dancing.
Yeah, it's the millions of people dancing in the background. Yeah, well, I think I'll take the wheel until Brandon calls in. Just reading another thing for Theta programming, since we've been kind of all over the board with it. We have not actually been off topic. It's just we've been all over the board. Here's a good way to think of it. It is the marriage of occult practices with the state of the art of science. That's another way to look at it. Also, you know, we've done a few of these. Of these mind control shows. We've done Alpha, we've done Beta, we've done Delta, and now we're on Theta. And these are brain waves that happen to all of us throughout the day, every single day. You know, our brains fall into Alpha, they'll fall into Theta, they fall into Delta when we sleep. These are natural things that happens all the time to us. I imagine since Delta is our brainwaves when we sleep, that might be why the term sleeper cell is used so often.
It's being called a sleeper cell, obviously.
Yeah, we know all about that. We know all about sleeper cells. Let's see here.
We got Brandon in.
I think it's Brandon. Is this Brandon?
Let's put him through. Brandon, are you there?
Can you guys hear me?
Hey, man. We can hear you.
All right.
How you doing, man? Good night.
So how you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. It's good to finally have you on.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's been a long while. what is your... Let me start right away. I know you're a Christian. A Christian, excuse me. What is your point of view on this, religion and Christianity as a whole? What do you think is being done with it, and why?
Well, Christianity, I think you can be used wrong, right way, can be used the wrong way. It can use, can be used for control.
Mm-hmm.
Control, I'll give an example. First, if you get them to believe, you can control them any way possible.
Oh, yeah. Very
good. Yeah. If you get that belief part, if you get them to believe, you can pretty much do anything.
It's a new trick. That's the same. And a lot of people we have talked a few times when I was bashing religion on my page, and I would just love that you would just sit back and, I know you're a Christian, but to see so many people being misled by something they know, well, pretty fucking little about, it's just sad to see. It's always good to see you popping up.
It is, yeah.
Well, Brandon, what's your opinion of super churches? People like Billy Graham, people like Joel Osteen, people like that. What's your opinion?
Well, I don't know much about Billy Graham. I've not really listened to what he has to say, but Joel Osteen, I think he's just money hungry.
Money hungry.
So yeah, money hungry.
Most likely. Aren't they all?
Because he does have a big church, and some of his stuff he says, it's like off the top of the head. It's like he don't come from the Bible at all. So some of the stuff he just like he's made it up. He says there's more than one way to heaven and all this and it just sounds like BS pretty much.
Somebody just told me, I'm not sure, Evan, I think you know him, Skylar Chandler. We need to get him on the show one time. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, he's a pretty smart cat. I like that guy.
He's
a pretty smart cat. Does anybody know how much money Joel Osteen makes a year?
I don't know. Probably way too much.
$70 million a year.
Holy shit.
Yeah, give or take. About $70 million a year, and it's no wonder he looks so happy all the time.
Yeah. I would have a big fucking smile on my face, too, if I made $7 million a year.
Oh, yeah. I'd have a smile on my face if I made $1 million a year, much less 70.
And Joel is saying tax free, I bet. Yeah, of course it's tax free. Most likely.
Well, now that we have a Christian on the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm a Christian, so but I'm gonna put my feelings and my faith aside, and we're gonna talk about some of these books. And some, well, not so much books, but some stories. Let's talk about some stories in the Bible that I am reading about that could possibly be, what I talked about earlier. Triggers, things like that. Let's go to the Genesis creation story. The cover story for the creation are parts of a slave system. The tree of life. It's used to create internal Kabbalistic tree of life for altar magic. Adam and Eve are often, and I see this all the time, Adam and Eve being used as code words. The Garden of Eden, part of the system, usually the early pure part that needs to be guarded by angels or demons. Sodom and Gomorrah, a type of suicide program. Genesis 38, the pledge of a signet, bracelet, and staff. Triggers to cue to open up a system for somebody to obey. It's almost like we're reading something on how to code, you know, a website. If you think about it, it's almost like what I just read off is like HTML or something.
I've seen the website and it's pretty basic. It's pretty fucking basic. But that's all you need. You got a lot of subjects. Oh, shit. I'm going to place this into the chat here from Blog Talk. It has a lot. It really has a lot. It's a chunk load of information. Blair always has. He always does.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. When I think about Adam and Eve, I think about naked people and sex. I'm not going to lie. That's exactly what I think about. I think about naked and people and sex. Now, why is that?
Because you're fucking.
Is it because I'm a pervert? Is that what you're going to say? Is it because I'm a pervert? I knew you were going to say that. But I bet I'm not the only one. Sarah, am I off base for saying what I just said?
Sarah, is Evan a pervert?
Right. Well, yeah, that too.
Well, Evan is a pervert.
But am I off base for saying Adam and Eve is not a trigger word for or trigger words for certain things?
You're not off base, no.
Now, I know you. I mean, you live right here. You live right here in Missouri, and I know you stay up late at night. I know you watch TV. How many commercials do you see for things that have Adam and Eve on their title that's sex based, infomercials and things like that? 900 numbers, etc.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty rampant. It's pretty rampant. And let's take the apple from Genesis. How can an apple not be used? How can it not be admitted that the apple has been used for a long time in some way? I mean, think about it. We give our teachers apples. Why do we give the teacher an apple?
What? The teacher an apple? Hold it. I just missed. I'm confused. What is the question again?
You guys don't do that in Europe? You don't give your teachers apples?
Well, we could.
No.
But no. Why the fuck would I give my teacher an apple? Let the motherfucker buy his own apple.
Well, it's a tradition here in America. I think it's kind of an older tradition, probably more from my days in school. It started dying. You know, you take an apple to your teacher to show appreciation and things like that. And, you know, maybe it's the whole thing of an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I don't know. But I see the apple used in music videos and things like that all the time. All the time an apple is used.
I gave my teacher a good one. I don't know if that counts.
Do you guys give your teachers in Europe, do you give them fries with mayonnaise? Sorry, it's another European joke. Anyways, Brandon, what do you know about, let's say, Freemasons and things like that being involved in not just Catholicism, but other religions?
Well, I really don't know much about Freemasons. I've not been in that kind of topic long, so I really don't know. I've not did much research on Freemasons.
Well, I can tell you this: I knew a bishop a long time ago, and that guy was a 32nd degree Freemason. He actually came to my theology class in my senior year and gave us a talk, and I raised about 9 kinds of hell over him being a Freemason, and everybody seemed to be just fine with it because he was a bishop. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. But my whole thing is, you know, you're a Catholic bishop, yet you're a member of a club that you can't talk about.
It's a little bit crazy.
That was my biggest thing. That was my biggest thing. And our good friend Carla also messaged me not too long ago and said that she thinks that Billy Graham was also a Freemason. You guys really got to look up Billy Graham. You really have to.
I never heard of him. But I'm looking up. He sounds like a person.
He was, when you think of original super pastors and things like that, Billy Graham is what you're going to think of. I mean, he was one of the first. He really was. And like I said, I don't know if things that were said in that the excerpt from that book are true or not, but you know, I've seen some of the speeches he gives and things like that, and I just have a real problem with people that can get up in front of a crowd, because I see politicians do it and I see religious, you know, super leaders do it, and they speak very charismatically, and they make all kinds of promises, and you know, if you even put the mind control and the programming aside for just a second, it's real easy for somebody sitting on top of the world that has an entire congregation of people worshiping them as some sort of proxy to a god or gods and giving them money it's real easy for them to sit on a high horse, to sit in the catbird seat, and say that everything is all good and everything is a piece of drink.
Exactly. That's a very good example. It's pretty fucking easy to say, well, everything's going to be good. It's got millions of dollars in your bank account. And so you just have to do good things and good things will come to you. But in reality, what I've experienced is just a load of crap. If you want something, go get it. Nothing to you. So it's very important to say shit like that while we're sitting on a mountain.
Yeah. I just have a huge problem with it. Yeah. I really do. I got a huge problem with it. Sir.
Evan.
Okay. I'm gonna bring some personal beliefs into this. Don't kill me for it. You've been a long time atheist. I don't know if you still are or not, I don't really care, but what I care about is what made you transition into that. Because to say you're an atheist means that, well, not, you can't define it like that. Let me think about this for a minute. It's, to say you're an atheist means that you reject the idea of, I guess, a God, but you also reject the idea of spiritual control. Is that a safe assumption?
Yes.
what made you sort of cross into that?
Having a lot of questions and not having a lot of answers for them, I guess.
Well, let me ask you this. You were raised, not Catholic, but Catholic, right?
Yes.
Does that anything to do with it that you're an atheist? I mean, atheist is such a big word. Atheist means you don't believe in any gods, right?
Right.
Does it have anything to do with how you were raised? You think?
I mean, I don't worship any god. I don't necessarily believe in any god, but it kind of started while I was still going to Lutheran school, about third grade.
Okay.
I kind of just had this thought that you can't prove anything, and it was all just stories to me. Nothing made sense, and I never got answers to all the questions that I had, so.
That's pretty unique, because most people, if you are, you know, let's say raised Catholic, then usually you're going to be Catholic. I mean, I was raised, I wasn't raised with any kind of religious theology or whatsoever, and I still have that. So, I don't know, usually it has something to do with how you were raised. Maybe that's a good question. Brandon, where you raised? Were you raised Catholic?
Oh, I was raised Christian.
You were raised Christian? Okay.
Yeah.
How do you look back at, how could I put this? How do you look at teachings? Do you still think that they're as valid as they used to be? Or do you think that, you know, people might have tangled with it? Because you're a fucking smart dude. You know a lot about this, but you know how this is being used to control people. What is your opinion on this? Do you think that deep down at the bottom it's all like it's been teached to you, but people are just misusing it? Or what is your take on this?
No, I can't really hear what you said. Your voice was real chopped. I can't understand what you were saying.
Oh,
repeat that.
My microphone. Sorry. I said the way you were raised, is that still... Do you still look at the same way at how you were raised, your education, your beliefs, or did it change because you went looking into it yourself? Because you know a lot about Christianity and Jesus Christ and whatnot. How do you look at this now, if you look back at it?
Well, I look back at it now, I have questioned, is this a God a few times? Everybody has. Well, I'm stronger in my faith than I was when I was a child. I say I was probably atheist for about 6 months. I was about maybe 15, 16, but from my personal experiences, it's like I really can't deny There's a God. I can't deny the existence because my past experiences with sickness and I just can't really deny it.
Okay, that's very good. Yeah, of course. I understand. Very good.
Yeah.
Evan, what do we want to do?
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We kind of have to cut the show short tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and give a little rant, give a little speech.
little rant, little speech.
It's going to be a mix of the two, I think. I'm no dummy, guys. You guys know that. But at the same time, I absolutely distrust 100% just about every kind of spiritual leader or guru I meet. I don't give a shit if it's a Muslim cleric or a Catholic priest or a rabbi or an evangelical preacher or a New Age guru. I don't trust, I never will. It's just not going to happen. And that's not saying that every single one of them are bad, but I'm certainly not going to take the chance. I'm just not going to. That's just not something that I'm going to do. I learned how to read a long time ago. Everybody on this call right now knows how to read, and I'm pretty sure everybody listening knows how to read too. You know, go to the library, you know, buy a copy of whatever you want to, and make your spiritual decisions very carefully.
Don't let other people.
Right. When you go to someone about matters of faith or matters of spirit or even general counseling in your life, you have to remember that nobody's an expert. Okay. So everything they say is not fact. It absolutely is not fact unless they tell you 2 + 2 = 4. Or something like that. Everything they say is an opinion, or it's interpreted. It's a point of view thing. It's one thing to call your God or your whatever you worship, your shepherd, or whatever you want to. But no man, especially in this day and age, and the kind of world we live in, should follow blindly.
Very true. Very true.
It absolutely cannot happen. Sarah, thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing some of your personal experiences with us.
She's still with us. Sarah.
Brandon, thank you for joining us and sharing your personal experiences with us.
Yeah, I was glad to be on.
Thank you very much. Jeff, it's always great to talk to you.
You know it, always. It's been a while, man. Well, next week again, what are we going to talk about next
week? Well, I think maybe next week, since the anniversary of Sandy Hook is coming up this weekend, I think we're going to talk about Sandy Hook next week.
Oh, yeah, that's
good.
A good
move. Good move. Yeah.
I think we're going to talk about Sandy Hook next week. We're going to talk about the absolute fucking debacle that we witnessed last year on December the 14th, and it's going to be a show to rip the government apart, and it's going to be a show to honor the victims, whether you think there's victims or not.
I was just going to say something. I was holding on to that. Okay. Perfect. Evan, thank you very much. I hope you do this. You know that. Sarah, still with it, Sarah. Always good. Thanks for coming.
And I want to thank Ruth Ann for hosting the show, not hosting the show, but providing the format for us. Quite some time. Sorry, we're cutting things short this week. Next week, we're going to be back, full 1 hour, 50 minutes. Same old, same old. I guess I got kind of things. I want to thank the Static for showing up tonight.
Really?
And being our other guest on the show. Yeah, I want to thank the Static. Listening and good night.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
No.